Our scripture this day comes from Luke 9, 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud, a voice came that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Over the past few months, and even this morning, Mobile has been overshadowed by a cloud. More than usual, in my opinion. Fog has wrapped our city, throwing off lights, bringing an eerie, mysterious feeling to usual places. I never realized that fog could throw off airplanes and airlines, but I now know from experience. Even with all of our technology, clouds are disorienting places. We cannot control the weather. We know this more than most, living in Mobile. We know that a hurricane, tornado, or storm can come and change everything in an instant. A few weeks ago, my husband Brian and I decided to go on a bike ride, not realizing how foggy it was. Because we had gotten everything ready and were already on our way, we went cycling in the fog. It took so much energy not to panic while on the bike. I was so scared with the fog that a car was just going to plow right over us. It's hard to be wrapped up in white mist, unable to see what is right in front of you or behind you. The disciples, too, are terrified when they enter the cloud. On top of a mountain, weather can change at a moment's notice, and suddenly they realize they are not in control of this situation. They can't see up from down. Even if they had wanted to get down from this mountain, they suddenly can't. They are stuck in fear and by what they are unable to see. But this cloud isn't the only fog Peter, John, and James have been living in. They have been operating in a mental fog for a while. Right before this, Peter proclaims that Jesus is God's Messiah, a profound profession of faith. Jesus explains what being the Messiah entails, that he will be killed and on the third day raised to life. He warns his friends that being his disciples requires that they take up their crosses and follow him. You think with this clear and direct explanation, James, John, and Peter get it. But they are weighed down with sleep. Maybe like some of us this morning. I don't know. They don't get what Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah about. What's going to happen in Jerusalem. What Jesus just told them about. But luckily, they stay awake and see this miraculous, wonderful sight. They still don't get it. So trying to be helpful, trying to control the situation, trying to put a handle on the unbelievable, dreamlike moment, Peter recommends they stay. Build three dwellings. Even after everything, even after Jesus' transfiguration, confirmation that Jesus is God's chosen, even after Peter's profound confession, "You are the Messiah," Peter doesn't get it. He's still under the illusion that the Messiah stays up on mountaintops. He can't hear the truth of Jesus' imminent suffering and death and resurrection. It's just too horrible. It's just too surreal. It's just too unbelievable. Mountaintops are not safe places. They are powerful, grand places. Places where God speaks. Places beyond our control. My sister lives in Colorado, and so one of her favorite pastimes is to climb 14ers. 14ers are mountains that are 14,000 feet tall. She's told me before, you never want to be on top of a mountain after lunchtime. Later in the day, clouds form and storms appear on top of tall mountains. And you know, lightning likes to strike the tallest peaks, the tallest points. In order to summit these 14ers, she begins hiking at 5 or 6 a.m. Hearing this and knowing this are two different things. Two summers ago, I went with Brian and his family to visit his brother, Justin, in Colorado. They wanted to hike a little, and so Justin recommended that we take a gondola up on Vail and hike down one of the slopes. We began a little after lunch. I saw the clouds at the top, but I didn't know what this meant. We got to the top and we began to summit down. Within 10 minutes, a gentle rain began to fall, so we kept hiking. Soon it got harder. Then lightning and thunder began to rumble. Almost immediately, I remembered my sister's words and knew what they meant. Never climb a mountain after lunch. What was supposed to be a short hike was actually a 5-mile hike with children in shoes not built for mud. Suffice to say, all of the children slipped in mud at least once, and Brian had a water bottle thrown at him for being too positive. Not by me. Hearing and knowing are two different things. The disciples have heard what is about to happen, but they do not know. They have not experienced what is to come. And as much as words can prepare us, the experience of something makes it real. Here on the mountain, they get the experience. Seeing Jesus transfigured, hearing him talk to Elijah and Moses, representing the prophets and the law, the culmination of Scripture in this moment. Hearing Jesus share about what is to come is all one thing. But they have to enter the cloud, be completely helpless and stuck, feel and hear God's voice speak to them. "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." To truly know. In the cloud, their old assumptions and ideas are completely disfigured. They are transfigured. Peter, James, and John are changed in the cloud. I like to think God's words and Jesus' words sink in. And so silent, they go back down the mountain. They realize Christ's mission isn't on the mountain. It's back down in the valley of the shadow of death. I hope down the mountain they listen a little more closely to what Jesus has to say. We cannot completely understand the story of Jesus' transfiguration. We've not lived it like James, John, and Peter did. We were not there. For us today, it's still a story that is magical, fantastical, and maybe even a little unbelievable. Our transfiguration stories are not theirs. But I believe that God makes real for us in our own lives who Christ is. Christ is transfigured, and we are too. Maybe it's not a mountaintop experience where the heaven, maybe though, it is a mountaintop experience where the heavens go up and you realize you're not in control and you slip and slide all the way down. Maybe it's through a difficult diagnosis where all this Jesus talk becomes real to you and Jesus is transfigured in your life. Maybe it's through the transfiguration of a community you are a part of. Maybe a community that was at one point closed, fearful of the future, and now opens its doors to all. The good news for me is that in the clouds of our lives, as terrifying and disorienting as they are, the clouds are also places where we meet God. In the clouds, God and Jesus are present. In the cloud, we hear God's voice. God's voice gives us direction and meaning in the cloud. But I know that some days are just cloudy, foggy days. Some days we're just in a funk. Even though I can look at the weather on my phone, the clouds always take me by surprise. When I realize that I'm in the fog, oh, I fight. I begin to think, I shouldn't be in the fog. I can't see. I'm scared. I'm not in control. Get me out of here. I try to escape the fog by running away, but in the process, I either trip on my own feet or a rock, or I walk in circles. I can make things worse in the cloud. Worst case scenarios play over and over in my mind. Will I be in this fog forever? And am I going to die in this cloud? Will things ever be normal again? I start to fret because I know this cloud is changing me. And no, things will never be the normal I once knew. I am not in control. But I can alleviate a lot of my suffering by stopping. Fretting about being in the cloud does not change the reality. I'm in the cloud. So maybe I can learn something while in the cloud. Notice the cloud. Revel in the mystery of the cloud. How I cannot control this fog. Maybe I can pause, pray, trust, be still, and know. Maybe by stopping, we can hear God speaking to us in the midst of the cloud, pointing us to Christ, to our help and refuge, to our light. Friends, we are not alone in our clouds. Even when you cannot see the light, even when you are disoriented and afraid, God is in the cloud. These mysterious and frightening cloud moments can change us. They transform and transfigure us. They can prepare us for the valleys below. So remember God's words in the cloud. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. May we listen with new ears, awakened hearts, and obedient lives this day and all days. Amen.